Tonight, we trace the rise of the prosperity message from its historical roots to its modern form, and we test it carefully against the Word of God. Let's open the Scriptures and learn the truth.
Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas, Mr. David Paxton there in New York.
How you doing?
How things
what
going
does that mean
there,
anyway?
I'm sorry?
What does that mean anyway?
What does what mean?
Syndicated. I don't know what that
syndicated means.
Syndicated
means we're on a whole bunch of stations all over the world. You know,
on the air, online,
all the social media places, all the video things, all the audio podcasts, you name it, we're on it.
That's a simple definition. How about your coffee? Like, are we in there coffee?
Coffee?
Yeah. So, like, I pick up my cup and automatically the Last Christian comes on.
Yeah. Okay. Everyday dose coffee. Yeah. We're still that too. You know, if anybody wants to go to. All right.
We did get a new sponsor, Boost Blends.
Oh, I didn't know. Yeah. You did send me information on that. I haven't done anything with it yet.
Yeah. We'll put it in the chat or whatever people are doing.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's a detox program. It's all natural. Mm. It's got like, you know, there's no chemicals in it, no pharmaceuticals. It's all natural stuff. And I'm on it, and I'm in the middle of the parasite cleanse right now. And I got to tell you.
Yeah, you've been keeping me up to date on this stuff too. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I feel like a new man without parasites.
Yeah. Okay. And remember now, we are on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV, as well as, of course, on the web. You can go to lastchristian.net. And find all the TV shows there. And not just Last Christian, by the way. There's a whole bunch of shows there that I think you guys would really enjoy. Anyway,
yes.
David, would you go ahead and pray us into this episode? And then I'll show everybody what we're going
to
talk about.
Yeah. So, Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, before your precious throne. We thank you for your word. We thank you that it's powerful, like a two-edged sword. We thank you that it will go forth and it will plant seeds where you would have them to plant, and you'll send the waterers and the harvesters, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I told you before we even started this stuff that, you know, I was having a heck of a time thinking of exactly what we were going to talk about today. I mean, the Lord was busy this week, and He hadn't given me a clue yet as to what I was supposed to be talking about.
And, he's probably giving you your sea legs.
He kind of left me hanging out there. So I was trying to figure out exactly what we were going to talk about. And so I started to build a couple of shows. And before I knew it, I was throwing them away. It's like, this is terrible. This is awful. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But the same... There was a little something that came up every time that pointed me in this direction. And this is, of course, the prosperity gospel. And so, anyway, today what we're going to cover is just how did this prosperity message even start? Then we'll move on to faith, trust in God or spiritual mechanism. Then in the second half of the show, we'll talk about the covenant wealth and the Abraham question. And then in the final segment, we'll talk about healing, suffering, and the true gospel. So again, you know, this prosperity gospel thing, it was always strange to me. You know, I never really understood how all of a sudden you're going to get a mystery check in the mail for $1 million or something. You know,
yeah,
I
mean, I've been looking for that for years.
Yeah, I mean, it just didn't make sense. But anyway, let's just look at this, okay? How did the prosperity message even start? Let's begin with this simple question. If the prosperity gospel is true, where was it for the first 1,800 years of church history? You don't find it in the early church fathers. You don't find it in the reformers. And you don't find it in historic confessions. The modern prosperity system really begins taking shape in the late 1800s. Now, first of all, there was a philosophical movement in America often called New Thought. One of the influential figures was Phineas Quimby. Now,
remember Phineas?
his ideas were not rooted in Orthodox Christianity. They centered on the concept that belief shapes reality, that sickness is tied to wrong thinking, and that mental alignment produces some kind of physical outcomes. Now, that's not biblical theology, but those ideas created a framework. In the early 20th century, we see Mr. E.W. Kenyon. Now, he was blending the evangelical language with confession-centered ideas. He emphasized speaking promises and faith declarations. He taught that redemption included healing and authority could be exercised through confession. The next major step is Kenneth E. Hagin. That's in the mid-1900s. Now, Hagin's messaging system became known as the Word of Faith movement. He popularized the idea that faith operates by spiritual law and that confession activates that law. By the 1970s and 80s, television carried the message everywhere. You had teachers like Kenneth Copeland that amplified the whole thing globally. Now, that's the historical path. Now, here's the key point. The system developed in stages. It was not consistently taught across church history. It emerged gradually and then spread rapidly through media. So now the question becomes, does Scripture actually teach what the system claims? Now, we'll get to that question later, David, but what do you think about how all this came about, and how did it get to be even a part of the church? I mean, we saw the names there, the guy that, you know, initially, I guess, brought it to the church, but mm-hmm. why did it, I don't understand how it actually came to be in the first place. Can you?
There's a lot of things. If it's right, it's the same MO as evolution. It's got to start with, did God really say that? You know, so here we go. Now, but it's going the other direction. And one of the MOs of Satan is he doesn't care one way or the other if you're a Christian, as long as you don't believe in Jesus.
Right.
And what he said.
Mm-hmm, right.
It's two different things in today's world, at least. And so if he leads you off and you're only 1% off, then he's like, yeah, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Because every step you take, it's a little bit further away and
right.
a little bit further away, a little
mm-hmm.
bit further away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So at, in the end of the day, you're going to miss the mark.
Yeah.
And yeah. so that's where he starts. And I think this goes along with the both and mentality that we have.
Okay.
Okay. Whereas, yeah, God calls us to do stuff, and then he mm-hmm. provides for the stuff we do.
Right.
And he will provide, and he does bless his children. However, this movement brings it back to you again. You remember the Matzaroth? We always talk about the Matzaroth,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm, okay.
So here's all these stars in heaven, and God sits down with Adam and says, here, I'm going to tell you a story, and we're going to go by the brightness of the stars. As the months pass by, you'll be able to see what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, that's cool. Let's do it. So we have the exact same characters in every single astronomy in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. how did someone, you know, from the far Middle East come up with the exact same astronomy we have here in the West, and every other civilization around the world had the same set of characters?
Mm-hmm.
A couple names changed here and there, but essentially the same characters.
Yeah.
And it's because it all came from one place.
Right.
And it came from that one place in the beginning where God set the story in the stars.
Mm-hmm.
So bring that right around. Satan wraps that all around, and now it's astrology where, oh, these stars don't talk about God. They talk about you
mm-hmm.
and, you know, whether you should go out and get coffee today or today's mm-hmm. a good day to talk to somebody and
mm-hmm.
all this other garbage that they put on there. Well, it's the same thing with the prosperity message. Yeah, God owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He does. Okay. Yes. Does God love to bless his children? Of course he does. Would he rather beat you and keep you in a corner with, you know, cold, you know, and naked? No, of course he doesn't want to do that. He wants to bless our children. But what they've done is turning around and saying, well, I can just force this blessing, you know? And there's, I've even heard a guy say, who was it? They said just recently, oh, you have to work so hard to force God's hand. It's like, well, that's not how that works.
No, not even close. Not even close.
Yeah. Oh, you work so hard, he has to bless you. No. I've seen people work their butts off and still be more broke than when they weren't working.
Right.
It's just the way it goes. And then I've seen people where they could just fall over backwards and God supplies all their needs. Matter of fact, even our good friend Tom, in he's in Africa, owns lordsbook.com. You should get over there and sign up, by the way, lordsbook.com.
Amen.
I get in there right away. You know, he just wants to serve the Lord, and he didn't care if it cost him his last dime. And now he's starting churches, you know, in Africa. He's got a big, he's got a denomination over there. He's got kids clubs all over the place, and he can't give it away fast enough because that's what he loves to do. And all of a sudden, all the money's coming to do what he needs to do. And I think that's really the key. You know, Bible tells us that, you know, you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss that you may lavish it upon yourself. And it's not about you. Okay. Right. It's about you are an ambassador for Christ. And if you're doing what he called you to do, then he'll supply for all of those needs of whatever he called you to do. He's not going to say, well, oh, since you're repeated, you know, I have a Mercedes 100 times. That's actually witchcraft. Okay. Yeah. And that's Hinduism. If I spin this wheel enough times, every time it goes around, I get one sin forgiven. No, it's not how it works. It's not if you say it enough times and God has to give it to you. No, that is a heresy.
Well, David,
so that's how it started. It was a feel-good thing. And they say, okay, well, little by little, it brought it on. Oh, well, yeah, God does want us to talk. That's right. Because we'll go over those verses as well.
Well, I just want to, again, go back to this. Where do you find this in Scripture? I mean, you don't find it in the early church fathers. They don't mention prosperity gospel. And we'll get, like you said, we're going to get into some Scripture that kind of puts this in its place real quick. But you don't find it in the Reform movement, and you don't find it in any of the historic confessions, you know. So I don't understand how all of a sudden it was accepted even initially in churches. Was the guy just charismatic or something? Or
Well, it sounded good. It sounded, oh, you know, people are poor. Well, all you have to do is give me your money, and that's a seed, and God will bless you for it. But you have to, you know, you're, and when you, because I was in there for a little while, and until I was like, wait a minute, I'm not paying for these Cocoa Puffs.
Okay.
And it's like, and then that's like watering it. If you, when you speak over it, it's like watering it. Okay. When it, you know, words do have consequences.
Yes.
That's for sure. But you can't, now think of it in terms of court language. Okay. Here we are with contract terms. All right. Now I got a contract, the blood of Christ. It says he'll, you know, as long, basically, as long as I'm doing his will and purposes, he's going to supply everything I need, which is true. Now, what if I go ahead and say, well, I'm going to add some words to this contract?
Amendment.
See, that's what you got to do. I'm going to add to this. And my version says, oh, if I just repeat this enough, you have to give me all sorts of money, Jesus. And he's looking and is like, I don't see that.
Don't see it in there. Yeah.
No, didn't say that in here. So, but it sounded good.
Yeah.
It said, you know, like it says, you're snared by the words of your mouth. Well, yeah, you are. But that doesn't mean you can speak those things in out of you know, into existence. I speak that this bank is just going to, everyone's going to leave and all the money's going to be on a counter and I could just walk in and take all the money. Well, it's not going to happen.
Okay.
And so they, it sounded good that I could speak all these blessings, but again, you're lavishing it upon yourself. Your blessing is what God decides to give you. Not
well, actually,
you.
Actually, David, we're going to get into that here in just a minute because, you know, again, we're going to get into some Scripture here. But I guess the final point before we move on to something, to another part, is the fact that Scripture does not teach prosperity gospel. It's not in the Bible. And
not the gospel, but prosperity gospel as we know it today.
As we know it
today. I wouldn't even call it a gospel.
Yeah, yeah, right. Okay, let's look at this now. We got faith, trust in God, or spiritual mechanism. So at the heart of prosperity doctrine is a very specific definition of faith. Faith is often described as a force, something that works by law, something that produces outcomes when properly applied. But Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith in Scripture is trust, confidence, and reliance. It is relational and is not presented as a metaphysical energy. Then we hear about confession, where Proverbs 18:21 is often quoted, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, you've already kind of touched on that. But in Proverbs, this describes consequences of speech, not creative authority. In Genesis 1, speech creates reality. Now, the big point here is, but that speech belongs to God. So when we move to the New Testament, that's James 4, 13 through 16, it says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Now, that phrasing matters because biblical faith submits to God's will. It does not compel it. And the difference is enormous. One view sees faith as surrender. The other subtly turns faith into a technique. So what's your comments on that part, David?
Yeah, I think the technique, that's a good way to put it. Again, it's because you're trying to do it your way. And if I do this just right, because I remember thinking, well, okay, well, I gave to this guy, you know, I was young and I was, you know, looking around and all these different things come up. Well, how come it didn't turn around and come back to me this way? You know, and it's, you know, and the Lord showed me, well, have you read James? Okay. I said, I guess not. So, James chapter 4 says, from whence comes a war and fightings among you? Verse 1, come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? You lust and you have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, you fight in war. Yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts. You're adulterers and adulteresses. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? So you're looking, you're asking for the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
And you know, everyone says, oh, I'm just blessed and I'm going to go around and show everybody my pink Cadillac and, you know, my big fur coat and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. That's the wrong reason. Now, if I'm saying, listen, Father, I want to help this church out and they need this and that and the other, you know, can we get something over here? Yeah. Then you ask, okay, yeah, here's the money. Let's go do it.
Mm-hmm.
And Daniel say, by the way, since you're a good servant, remember what happened with Solomon? Solomon said, no, I just want to take care of your people. Well, he blessed him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So the irony is here are these people asking for money to consume it upon their own lust. When if they just said that all I want to do is help you, he literally gives you more than enough and you have more than enough for yourself in addition to giving it away. And I can testify to that because for years I tried to say, well, if I pay this tithe or I give this guy an offer, hey, can the money come in? Because I was under the contract of my lineage being broke. Okay. They were all they were all just broke losers. And that contract was over my life. I tried to start a business and it would fail. And I'd be, you know, I have a real good seminar company and that failed. And I did all these different things, which I did really well. And it built up. But then I still had that contract from before when they were just looking to grab that money. So Satan's like, okay, but I still have that contract over you. He didn't tell me, obviously, because he didn't want me to know. But when I learned about the contracts, I repented of it. And then, boom, it broke instantly. Now, because I want to give all sorts of money away, more money comes in the back end all the time to do that. And it's more than I gave away every single time.
Yeah.
Well, that's not the reason I do it, because it's like this, Joel. If people say, all you talk about is money, you know, this and that. Usually it's the broke people that talk about money all the time.
True.
Because they need it. Mm-hmm. Now, think of it like air. If I can't breathe, what am I going to talk to you about?
Air.
I need air.
Right.
I need air. Please, can I get some air? Please, can I get some air? Mm-hmm. But here I am. I'm breathing in my house, and I haven't mentioned air to you since we started the show a couple years ago. Hey, right. I need some air. Yeah.
Right.
I don't need it. Okay. So it's the same thing.
Right.
If you don't need the money, you're not going to be talking about how you can produce all this money. Mm-hmm. So it's really, really deceitful. Because how can you serve God and mammon? You can't.
You cannot. You cannot. Mm-hmm. Well, now there is a scripture in there. Again, you know me. I just know what's there. I can't point to it. But if God will take care of the birds of the field or whatever, or the animals, and provide for all their needs, how much more will He do for you? You're familiar with that scripture, I'm sure.
Oh yeah.
And you know, nothing could be more true than that. You know, if you look around. Like out here in the country, I see little squirrels running around all the time, you know, whether it be summer.
So many nuts, they don't know what to do with them all.
Summer or winter or whatever, you know, and I not one of them's poor, you know, I mean, and by that I mean, you know, skinny and scrawny and looks like they're about to fall over and die. Not one of them. They all look well to me, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got some fat ones around here.
Yeah, you know, we got raccoons, all kinds of stuff, you know, and God has taken care of those and, you know, and the birds of the air as well. So, you know, how much more will He do for us human beings than He does for them?
I
think it's a great teaching, and you know, but again, you can point to that, whereas, you know, I can only tell you it's there.
Yeah. So, but yeah, he talks about the birds, and then basically the idea there is, oh, look, he's just going to lavish blessings upon me. He's going to be like, no, he says, the birds don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm,
so you stop worrying about it.
Mm-hmm.
That was the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You stop worrying about where the money's coming from. You stop worrying about all that stuff. Because even to say, oh, look at me, I'm so poor, you think you're pious. No, because you're still concerned about the money and you're still not trusting God that He's going to provide for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, so it is double-sided there. You can't go around, you know, thinking you're pious because you're broke. It doesn't work that way. You're probably broke because you either got a contract from back in your lineage, or you yourself did it, or you're just lazy. I don't know.
Well, how about, because I know this is going to come up, and there's no easy way to ask the question. And that is, how about all the people living on the street, whether they be in New York City where you are, and I know that you guys probably have encampments there. Down here in Texas, you know, it's kind of like, you know, if you're on the sidewalk, sorry, we're going to sweep you off at 6. You know, California is overridden with homelessness.
Yep. They let them in. They designed that on purpose.
Yeah. So what's the story with that? Now, you're saying if they invite them in and they kind of set that up is the way that.
Here's the biggest problem with that. The vast majority of them have mental problems.
Okay.
Because there is no way you can live in New York City and they're not going to give you an apartment. It's just not.
Okay. Yeah.
You could literally go down to City Hall and say, I'm broke and living on the street and I need an apartment. They'll be like, okay.
That quick. Okay.
Yeah. They do. They're all over the place. We got a homeless shelter several blocks from here. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the guys could go. And, you know, and then sometimes they come and, you know, they'll sneak in, they're sleeping in our lobby. And we're like, dude, go to the homeless shelter. No, I don't want to go over there.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what to tell you, but you can't sleep here. Get out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's usually a mental issue. I'd say 95% of the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I even met one lady once, and she had more money than all of us put together.
Oh, wow.
But she didn't want to spend it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I don't want to spend it, because then, you know, what am I going to do? I said, well, you're living in the street now. I mean, it can't get much worse. Why don't you spend it and buy a house?
Relative that was deceased well before I was even born. I heard the stories from my parents and the uncle that was actually delivering the message here. Mm-hmm. But there was somebody in our family, and they were, you know, well educated, you know, had great possibilities and all, everything, but didn't care and wanted to be a tramp. I mean, that was his goal in life. Was forget what they call them. It's people that jump on trains, you know, and
okay, the hobo, ride
around, yeah, like a hobo riding around the country. And every so often, this uncle of mine actually was the prison warden in Louisiana. And we were there on the complex, you know. He even had prisoners that would walk in to the house, you know, the I forget what they call them, you know, that they trusted, you know, for doing mm-hmm. stuff. But anyway, this relative would show up occasionally, you know, and check in and have a meal with them or something. It's like, well, are you gonna, you done with that yet? You know, we can set you up with something. And just, no, well, there's a train coming by at like whatever time it is tomorrow. No, I'll plan on catching that. You know, and you know, that was his life. And it said, you know, he showed up, you know, every year or two, you know, and then one time, finally, he didn't show up anymore. You know, they have no idea whatever happened to the man, you know.
Oh, man.
But that
well, was... That's what Abraham was. He was a wanderer.
Yeah, I mean...
That, never settled.
But that was a choice, is my point.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm wondering if that's not the way it is with the homeless people that we see. Now, you were talking about mental illness, and I agree with you on that. I think a lot of it is mental illness. But there should be some help for these people, right? I mean, if they really want
to have help, but... Yeah. It can't help someone who doesn't want the help.
There it is. Yeah.
You know, we finally, there was one around the corner, Mr. Singh, and he was the happiest guy, and mm-hmm. he just wanted help. But he, you know, he had an alcohol problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, for a few years, we see him out on the corner, and it's like, dude, you got to stop drinking. Oh, mm-hmm. please. You know, so we'd mm-hmm. buy him food, you know, and he was a really nice guy. Mm-hmm. And then we'd bring him down to whatever AA meeting he had, and then we brought him over to the church and said, listen, you got to get yourself straightened up. I can't do it for you. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what happened? He straightened up. He came mm-hmm. back one day. He's got a suit on. He's all cleaned up. He's nice shaving, not like me, you know. and he's looking good. Oh, I want to thank you very much. Thank you very much. You helped me so much. I'm a new man. I believe in the Lord. I'm worshiping the Lord. And, you know, all of a sudden it's great, but he wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted it. And that was the thing. You can only help people who want it.
Yeah. I wonder if there's any of these people, and this is just a random thought. I'm wondering if any of these people are paid to do this stuff, to lay out on the...
Well, you know. That's another thing. We could talk about that when we come back in the second half.
Okay. Yeah.
Talk about
because, you know, it just seems like this exploded in the last, 10 years? I mean, you know, there's mm-hmm. always been homelessness. I'm not saying that there hasn't. But it seems like the degree of homelessness has just gone through the roof in the last 10 years. And, you know, I mean, we know who's in the White House. We know what the narrative is, and, you know, maybe that's it. Anyway, we've got a lot to cover still in the second half of the show. You guys hang in there with us, and we will continue this discussion after a very short break. We'll be right back.
Today, Christian voices are being silenced, censored, and pushed aside. That's why Last Christian Media exists. We are an independent, family-friendly Christian media platform broadcasting on Roku, Amazon Fire TV, and the web, bringing Bible-based teaching, trusted commentary, and faith-centered programming directly into homes around the world. We don't answer to corporations, we don't rely on advertisers, and we don't compromise biblical truth. But independence comes at a cost. Your support helps keep Christian content on television. It helps cover broadcasting, streaming, and platform operations. It helps creators share truth without censorship or shadow banning. When you support Last Christian Media, you're not funding a network. You're strengthening a mission. Visit lastchristian.net, click support, explore the media store, and help keep Christian voices visible. Last Christian Media. Faith, truth, family. On TV, on demand, and here to stay.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. Mr. David Paxton there in New York. David, now, people just heard a commercial, you know, where we say donate, you know, if you can, support the ministry if you can. I want to explain the difference, if I can, here for just a second.
Mm-hmm.
We are not telling you that if you send us whatever, $25, whatever the case may be, that
or $14,000 or anything like that.
Yeah, right. That you're going to get that much or more back. We're not telling you that. What we're trying to do is we'll say, okay, look, if you can support us, please, you know, we'd appreciate it because, you know, this stuff isn't free that we do, and it really does help us out. But you can also, like, go to the stores or whatever and get actual tangible products or services or whatever. We're working for what we do. We're not begging you for anything. If you can give us something, great. But I'll tell you this, if you pray for us, we're just as happy about that. We really are. You know, so
amen.
Anyway, I just wanted to kind of explain the difference between that.
Well, here,
and
it's like this. Yeah. You know, everybody knows you need money to operate in this world. You can't move 10 feet without money.
Right.
You just can't, because you got to buy food so you have energy to move that 10 feet.
Right. Yeah. I got a bad habit of eating myself.
So it's not a matter of, you know, just us saying, hey, oh, just please send us some money. Praise the Lord and send me the money, because that's what Jesus wants you to do. It is about joining in the ministry. So if the Lord is calling you and saying, hey, this team over here is going to do this and this and this, well, this part of the team is making the videos and whatnot. Okay. Mm-hmm. But let's say you don't know how to make videos, you know, you don't know how to do anything, or you don't want to, or God has you in another mission. Mm-hmm. You can join in our mission and say, I'm part of the team.
That's
because
right.
I gave X amount of dollars, you know, whatever the Lord leads me to give.
Yeah, or you get a shirt like what I got right
or,
here.
Or get a shirt or a mug, and you can you can help support, and then you're part of the team. That's the way I look at it. So it's helpful. I'm going to support and help be part of the team. We're not promising you the world otherwise. We're just saying we're doing the will of God while we're out there.
Amen.
So it's a different mentality. So, yeah, at the beginning of everything, hey, we can ask for money, they can ask for money, but what's the deal? Because I've seen a lot of these prosperity teachers, and I know them all well, and they come in and they start teaching is, I got the biggest house in Northwest Florida. Because God blesses me because I gave, and he blessed me because I gave. So it's one big Ponzi scheme. Everybody's giving everybody else, you know, as opposed to, hey, this is a real effort and takes real money to get things out there. Like missionaries, maybe he's called, you know, missionaries, they got to take planes over there. They got to bring food. They got to bring supplies. They got to, there's lots of stuff. It takes a lot to be a missionary. They got to build buildings. So you can be a part of the team in there. With us, we're missionaries on the airwaves. Mm-hmm. Okay. Cause we still, you know, even though, we've morphed into TV. Now we got the TV all over the place, and we're still on the radio at a couple hundred stations, that aren't ours.
Right.
So, this is our mission. So here we are doing this mission.
Here we are.
So let's clear that up.
Let's look
people
at this.
Get paid here. You talked about that. I remember we were going to talk about it.
That we, what? That who gets paid?
The bums that get paid.
Oh, yeah. You were going to kind of elaborate on that a little bit. Yeah. But before we go into the next slide, I'm going to let you do that.
Yeah. I'll finish it up so I don't keep thinking about it.
Okay.
Because I say, hey, wait a minute, the bums. So they think about it. We're in New York City, so acting is everywhere. And great many of the people that are begging here, especially if they look well-fed, they're acting.
Oh, okay.
Now, I can tell, like I saw a guy today on the subway, and he didn't look good at all. And he's talking to himself and he stinks and he's sitting there sleeping on his shopping cart full of all his stuff in the world. He's just sitting there. And then people talk to him and he's just not there. It's like he's somewhere else. So that's not the guy that's getting paid. But then there's another guy that sits over by the Trader Joe's and he's over 300 pounds. And I've seen him there for several years now. And he just sits there with a sign, anything can help. And meanwhile, he's got a chair and he puts a blanket on it because he puts all the stuff people give him underneath the chair. So he's got bags and bags and bags of stuff, you know, and people think that he needs it. I was like, so every time I go by him, I said, you don't need anything. And he... He came after me one day. I said, go to work, bro. I said, if you can chase me, you can get a job.
There you go. Yeah.
And Nestor was with me, and Nestor, like, stopped him in the middle. I said, oh, you shouldn't have stopped him. I said, yeah, I know, but I didn't want you to mess him up in the parking lot. You would have gotten in trouble.
Grief. It just sounds so like something
that
you
was
would
fun.
Do.
Yeah. But I don't mind insulting someone, but you know, if they come after me, I'm going to protect myself. But he deserved it because he's an actor. Okay.
He's
an actor, and that's all he does. That's how he makes his money.
Well,
and then there's several.
I'll say this: there have been numerous times, and I've heard this many, many times. I'm sure a lot of people out there too have that. You know, you feel sorry for somebody, and I have told them, hey, you know, I don't have any cash, you know, but I got a debit card, you know, I got a credit card. I'll be happy to run over there to McDonald's or whatever and buy you something and bring it back to you.
You buy a sandwich.
No, it's okay. No, I don't need that. I'm just looking for money. Yeah, and the thing is that what they want is they want cash where they can go buy cigarettes or liquor. You know, I mean, that's really a big part of it, you know, and drugs too, you know.
It's huge around here. I mean, that's how we got Mr. Singh. Mr. Singh, hey, how about we just go buy you a sandwich? Oh, that would be awesome. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Can I get like an orange too? Yeah, you can get an orange. Whatever you want, dude. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, get two. You know, take one for, oh, that's so great. That's so great. Because he really was looking.
You know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's
and,
a difference.
And you see what happened. He straightened himself out, or the Lord straightened him out.
He just needed some help. And, he needed a hand up, not a hand
people,
out. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's old Arminian ladies, and they look like this. And they have a sign that says, I have five kids at home, and, oh, I need money. So I'm like, why aren't you home with your five kids right now?
Yeah.
Where are they? And then they walk away to the next person with the sign. So they're a bunch of shysters. And then they stand on the sidewalk. And then I've seen one guy literally go for money, and then he'd go out of the subway and he'd get into his Mercedes, which was down the corner. So I asked the guy, he was on the street in Manhattan. And I'm like, I'm not giving you nothing, but let me ask you a question. How much do you make doing this? And he's like, I make about $400 a day. I said, just asking people for dollars and stuff. He says, yeah, sometimes people give me a dollar or change, but a lot of times, especially down by Wall Street, someone will give him a $100 bill. You know, but you know, a lot of people give him fives and tens. He says, I don't need to go to work. He says, I make $400 a day. Just asking people
for money.
He is
working. Yeah, he is working. He's working the crowd. All right, let's look at this because we're into it.
Yeah, let's go.
This is the covenant wealth, okay? And the Abraham question. The major pillar of prosperity theology is Abraham. He was wealthy. So according to the prosperity teachers, believers as heirs of Abraham should expect wealth. But what does the New Testament actually say? In Galatians 3, Paul explains that the promise to Abraham is fulfilled in Christ. The blessing is justification by faith. The inheritance is spiritual. So yes, Abraham had livestock. He had silver. But Hebrews 11 says that he lived in tents looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. His ultimate inheritance was not land, but instead it was the promise. Then consider the book of Deuteronomy 8:18, where it says, it is he that giveth the power to get wealth. That was spoken to Israel entering the promised land under the Mosaic covenant. It involved agricultural blessing tied to obedience in a specific land. It was not a universal new covenant or financial guarantee. Then we can move on to the teachings about the seed faith giving movement. Okay. Now this is, you know, where, you know, if you give extra money, you know, you can get more back. You're planting the seeds, all that kind of stuff. Okay. Corinthians 9 discusses sowing and reaping, but Paul is organizing relief for poor believers in Jerusalem. The emphasis is generosity, not guaranteed multiplication. So biblical giving is worship. It is gratitude. It is love. But when giving becomes transactional, then something shifts. Now, one thing in putting all this together, David, that kept coming up was the fact that they're preaching, you know, if you give this in the right spirit, then it's going to come back on you. You know, you're going to multiply and multiply. Like you were saying, you know, some preachers have like five or six jets and, you know, luxury mansions and all this kind of stuff. And in the next section that we'll get to, also the health situation. You know, if you're truly a Christian, if you're really a believer, you know, then you're not going to be sick anymore. That came from the very first segment we did as mm-hmm. well. So what came out to my mind, and you tell me how far off I am on this one, okay? What came to my mind is, all right, I'm in this church. They're telling me if I just give, I'm going to make a lot of money. And then if my faith is good, I'm never going to get sick. So I'm not getting any money. There's no extra money coming in, but I'm giving till it hurts. Okay. But I'm not seeing any extra money coming in. And man, I had a bad cold last week. So are you going to actually go to other people in your church and say, I'm not feeling this. I'm not getting it. When the pastor is saying, if you're not doing it, then you're not there yet. You're not a good enough Christian. In other words, you know, it's kind of like a guilt trip being put on you every single week. Am I close?
Yeah. And I mean, we have to think about it. Think about if you owned a business, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here you are in the business and you got someone's, you know, stealing money out the back door. Doesn't matter how much you give or how much you invest into, hey, I'm going to buy a house so I can fix it up and sell it. If someone's taking your money out the back, that's not going to work. Mm-hmm. And let's say, okay, well, I don't have any money to buy food, but I'm going to go ahead and give this over here. Well, it's a little askew. Did God tell you to give over there? Or is, like, your kids eating, is that a little bit, is that part of your ministry? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
Taking care of your wife and kids, because those are mm-hmm. first on your list. I mean, it gets crazy, because I've seen people say, oh, no, you got to, even if it, you know, even if you got to take your mortgage money, you give it to me. And it's like, that's wrong.
That's wrong.
You need to do is address why are they lacking to begin with?
Mm-hmm.
And well, there it is.
There's another one that comes to mind real quick. Cause I want to get the difference here. I want you to explain it from a pastor's perspective. And that is the lady in the temple,
mm-hmm.
who gave trivial amount of money, and
yep.
and who was it, the Pharisee or whatever, you know, that gave a huge amount,
mm-hmm.
and the Lord basically says, you know, she's the one that actually gave more, you know, because she gave all
yes.
she had, right? So can you explain that in relation to what we're talking about today with the prosperity preaching?
Yeah, I mean, it's the faith is she trusted God, because she knew that there's two types of offerings that you got to bring. One is a flat tax, you know, it's a half shekel. That's mm-hmm. what you got to bring. And then another one is the percentage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's the way it works. Well, she didn't even have enough to do any of that. So they were all like, oh, a half shekel's nothing. Boom. And then 10%. Oh, that's nothing, because they didn't miss it. But then they looked down on this widow. Now, remember, a widow back then, it's not like today, you know, if your husband dies, you can go out and get a job and still maintain yourself. You'll be mm-hmm. sad. But back then, the wife was supported by the husband. So if she was mm-hmm. a widow, she didn't have any income or any possessions.
Right.
So here she is with two mites, right? Which is, you know, maybe a, you know, a bread for the meal, and that's it. And that's all she had. But she trusted the Lord and said, I'm still going to pay what the Lord had said. And it was literally everything she had. So God's like, well, that is a lot more than these people give. And she gave it out of faith, you know,
but she wasn't, now, she wasn't saying, I'm going to put this in and it's going to multiply so by a million times.
Right. And it wasn't, it was just by faith. And that's kind of where I was going. The same, like the widow with, was Isaiah or Ezekiel? I forgot. Or with the oil, you know, she was again, another widow. And then she got, he's like, hey, just give me some jars. Go get as many jars as you can, and we'll get the oil. So, yeah, he provided in that state of need. The prophets, they didn't need any money. They just went around, and they had, he had birds bring them food, for crying out loud. And dirty birds at that. Hey, here's some meat. Get that. Don't worry about it. Just eat it. And he took care of them. And that's the idea. They were snotty, thought they were all that. Look at me, how much I'm giving. And she's and she was quiet and quiet, and says, I'm just, I have to obey God. And she gave it all. And so that's where that is. And there's a lot. You know, there's pressed down, shaking together, running over. We got that one, right?
Well, much different than the, go ahead, David. I'm sorry.
Well, there's context as well. When we look at, now you talked about Deuteronomy 8:18. Okay, and it says, behold, I've given you the power to get wealth. Well, who is he talking to? Now, we understand principles, yes. But he gave his wealth, and that word wealth is keil, by the way, which literally means a force, like a tornado force. It doesn't necessarily mean wealth. It implies wealth, virtue, valor, strength, resources, that kind of wealth, every kind of wealth, not just money. But what so here's where the Jews are today. They think, for the most part, I'm so good. Look at me make all this money. So let's back up into Deuteronomy with this. I says, and so 8:16 will go, who fed you in the wilderness with manna when your fathers knew not, which your fathers knew not? He'd say, they didn't know what manna was, but I fed them in the wilderness with manna, that he might humble you and he might prove you, to do you good at your latter end. That's why God did that. And you may say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto your fathers as is his day. So he's reminding them, you think you got this wealth? No, it was me that gave you the ability to work to get that wealth, and for one reason, to establish my covenant.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Okay, and people think, oh, then they just cut it in half, like you said. Oh, he gives me the power to get wealth. Yeah, because you think you can do it on your own. He gives it to you. That's the emphasis there.
Yeah.
It's like the sentence, I didn't say he stole the money. So it was God that gives you that power, and for one reason, to establish his covenant. So that's when the money comes. When you're working and as an ambassador of Christ, he gives you, here's your list of things to do. Do this. I have to establish my covenant. Your job is to reconcile other men unto me. All right. If you're doing that, I'll give you the wealth in order to do that. That's where this is, where the prosperity gospel message is. Oh, you just, you got to say it, name it, and claim it. And then you can have the best refrigerator that follows you around and get your beer. And you can have, you know, a flying car, and you can have all this other, whatever, you know, and you can have this giant mansion. No, it's to establish his covenant. Even all the verses they pull up, when you read the rest of it, it's to establish his covenant. This is because you're an ambassador for Christ. If I'm in the embassy, there's a lot of good things in the embassy, but they're not mine. They belong to God. Okay. So, but so if I'm an ambassador, I can hang out and play foosball in his game room. It ain't mine. It's his, but it's still, I get to use it.
Right. Right. All right. Well, let's look at this next one, David, because it ties right in again. Same. We're going down the same thing, except the fact that now we're talking about healing, suffering, and then, of course, the true gospel. The key claim here is that healing is guaranteed now, according to the prosperity preachers. That's what I was talking about with the sickness thing. Mm-hmm. Here they quote Isaiah 53, where Christ bore our sickness. But look at the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians 12. Paul describes a thorn in the flesh. He mm-hmm. prayed three times to have it removed, and it was not. And then in 1 Timothy 5:23, Timothy has ongoing health issues. So, yes, healing mm-hmm. is real, and God obviously does heal. But nowhere in Scripture does it teach of universal, immediate healing. Now, if you look at the core here, you got 1 Corinthians 15:3 through 4 defines the gospel as Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again. There's no financial clause in here, and there's no prosperity guarantees in there either. Ephesians 1:3 says we are blessed with spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So the New Testament emphasizes reconciliation, adoption, redemption, and resurrected hope. Now, that is prosperity that cannot collapse. The prosperity message centers present comfort, while the gospel centers on eternal glory. So there's a major difference there, right?
Yeah, here, let me see. Abraham was doing that too, so it's kind of the same thing.
Okay.
Let me see. Looking for that blessed hope, and so Titus 2:13 talks about this. Let me see. Looking for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Looking for and hasting unto the coming day of our Lord, in 2 Peter 3:12, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved. And keep yourselves in Jude 21 in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of it like this. We have a, let's say you have a contract. Mm-hmm. And that contract says that this house is yours. You just didn't close on the house yet, so you're not living in it. Mm-hmm. Now, you know that the contract clearly states that this is my house, okay, mm-hmm. And that everything associated with it's all mine. But you got to get to that table and the day of the consummation.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's how they looked at marriage back then. When you were betrothed, when you got engaged back then, you were betrothed. Mm-hmm. And that mm-hmm. means you accepted the contract. Now, because of that contract, the groom would go and pay off all your debt. Okay. And he will go and prepare a place for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that was all part of the contract. It was as if you were married, even though the consummation didn't take place yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. So if we were back in those days, it'd be easier to understand. But think of it that way. Okay. Once you drank that cup, mm-hmm. like in the Lord's Supper, you drank that cup. That was accepting that contract, and you were considered married. Any point after that, if you leave, that's a divorce, like a legal divorce. Mm-hmm. Not like today, where I'm going to get engaged and well, we didn't get married yet, so I can just leave. No, you mm-hmm. can't. Once you accept the agreement to be engaged. That was it. You were married technically, yeah. And that's why Joseph and Mary had some issues.
Right.
So here's the thing: we were betrothed, but he didn't come back and get us yet. So we don't get those things. We own those things. I own full healing.
Mm-hmm.
I own it. Okay. Mm-hmm. I own all the riches and glory in Christ.
Right.
I own everlasting life. But if I don't make the rapture, I'm going to die.
Yeah, we haven't closed on it yet. Yeah,
we didn't close. When mm-hmm. he comes back for his mm-hmm. bride and says, okay, now the dead in Christ rise first, those of us mm-hmm. who are alive and remain will walk around and then catch up in the air with him. Mm-hmm. That's consummation day.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we go to be with him forever. That's when we do have complete full healing and we'll be like him for all eternity.
Right.
That's when we have all the riches beyond our imagination.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we have full authority in Christ to just say everything that we is.
Yeah.
In the meantime, we're here with the contract in hand that says we own it, but it's not consummated yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's where we have to look at everything.
Yeah. What is that saying again? You keep going until I'm till it's done. I can't.
Occupy until I come.
Occupy. Yeah, occupy until
occupy.
I come.
Yeah. Octopus yeah. until I come.
Yeah, but I mean that's very real. And again, I don't understand why people are falling for this prosperity stuff. I just don't understand it.
Well, it sounds good. Who doesn't want a lot of money?
Yeah, I mean, it does sound good. I understand that. But, you know, if you do it for, you know, there's a mega church down in Houston, you know, and this guy preaches prosperity, I think. I mean, he's not mentioned as a prosperity prosperity preacher in anything I read.
Until he does.
But that's really what he does, right? And, you know, the thing is that you go to this church. He's got like at one time 45,000 people in his congregation, and he's telling them all to give. Well, that's a pretty good deal if you can get everybody in 45,000 people to even give you $1 a week. That's pretty good income right there.
Yeah, not bad at all.
Yeah, not bad at all. But you know, you give and you give and you give and you don't get anything back. But then he's teaching you that if you're not getting anything back, that's because you're doing something wrong. Not because he's doing something wrong. It's because you're doing something wrong. And the only way that you're going to fix that is to give him more. You know, and so I think that there is people that are beginning to catch on to the scam and leaving that. But, you know, me personally, if I bought into that, let's say 20 years ago, and said, okay, I can give $500, I'm going to get $1,000 back. Cool. So, you know, you give your $500 and then you don't get anything. The second time they do it, it's like, why don't we try $250 this time? You know, okay there's $250 and I'm still not getting anything. I don't think I would go for the third time, you know? So I don't understand why people do.
Once bitten, twice shy, right?
Right, exactly. So, you know, I don't understand why people keep buying into it. Can you explain that? I mean, what's the hold?
It's the witchcraft in the language.
Okay.
They've learned how to manipulate language. They've learned how to get people excited, which is one. I don't teach hype at all. I'm not telling stories. I'm not telling anything. I'm going to tell you like it is. Mm-hmm. And that's because I learned that long ago. I've seen a lot of people burn because it's just the hype. I got to give it now. I got to give it now. You know, and then you're out $5,000. It's like, okay, what happened here? Well, you got caught up in the hype. So I'm very careful not to be hypey. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why, because people, they get caught up into it and not doing due diligence. Right. I mean, it's very simple, folks. What you do is you say, you don't have to say no. What you say is not yet.
Not yet.
Let me go back. Yeah. I'll come back tomorrow after I talk to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And you'll be surprised at how many times the hype goes away.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I heard where this guy's message hasn't changed in years and years and years, and that's one reason.
No, he doesn't have any other message.
Yeah.
Kanye was up there the other day, and he told everybody right from stage, he says, you watch out for the Hollywood elites. They're putting stuff in all the kids' shows, okay, that are causing them to not think so they can tell them any message they want. Mm-hmm. And the place was silent. No one clapped. No one did nothing. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, all right, y'all go think about that and do some research. I'll see you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. It's
even
called indoctrination.
Even the wackadoodle.
Yeah, it's called indoctrination. And that's, you know, that is.
And so these people are indoctrinated. That's basically what it is.
Yeah. All right, David, take us out of the show.
All right. So here's the deal. There's both sides of this coin. Does God want to provide for you as his children? Of course he does. Okay. Is he going to do it just because you made a list of commands? I don't think so. All right, that's not how it works. He says, here's the terms and conditions of the contract. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So if your neighbor has a mortgage payment and they can't pay, you pay it. That kind of a thing. So if you're working for the Lord as his ambassador, he will give you all the supplies you need. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken or seen begging bread, is what David said. So just make sure you're righteous. In the meantime, hopefully, if we're still here, we will see you guys on the next show. You have a blessed day.
As we close tonight, remember this. The gospel is not about chasing wealth, but about knowing Christ. Scripture calls us to faithfulness, contentment, and trust in the Lord's will. True prosperity is only found through reconciliation with God, forgiveness of sin, and the hope of resurrection through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If this teaching strengthened you, you can watch this and many other family-friendly programs on Roku and Amazon Fire TV by searching for the Last Christian Media app. You can also stream our shows on demand anytime at lastchristian.net. Be sure to visit our store for books and official merchandise. And if you'd like to support the work of Last Christian Media, you can do that at lastchristian.net/support. Until next time, stay in the Word, stand in the truth, and keep your eyes on Christ.